Spent the day fasting, since it is the appearance day of a very important avatar, Lord Nrisimhadev, and you are therefore eagerly expecting the time which comes around when the day meets the night, the dusk time. I would like to put today's Compassion Tuesday under the umbrella of Bhakti compassion, Vaishnav compassion, the compassion of the monks. There is a book out, it says Think Like a Monk, which offers a very interesting perspective in which we can approach the issues of today. And today we will think compassion like a monk. I would like to ask my technical assistants to get from my writing table the book Bhagavad Subodhini. Yes, today, as I indicated already to all of you, is the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. Actually, at a time of existential crisis, where his great devotee Prahlad was in danger of his life, he proved that he is everywhere, present everywhere. I think when we look for a good definition of God, we will have to say he must be present everywhere. Nothing is excluded, everything is included. To show his omnipresence, he emerged from a pillar and protected Prahlad from the lethal danger of being decaptivated by a person called Hiranyakashipu. He came and made an enraged entry. In fact, when we speak of divine love, we must also speak of divine anger and everything in between. So this was the divinity which manifested amount of divine anger, and only his dear devotee Prahlad could pacify him. At that time, Prahlad turned to the Lord in prayer, and he said something which shows or brings out the spirit of true compassion. He said, Naivo dvice paradurajaya vaitaranyas. I will immediately say it in English. O best of the great personalities, I'm personally not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. You are where your mind is. When your mind is absorbed in spiritual, ecstatic thoughts, you are in a way protected and safe because you are experiencing the spiritual realm, the spiritual reality. But he said, although I have no personal problem, my concern is only for those who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. This is the spirit of compassion. One sees someone engaged in an activity which is doomed to failure. You cannot protect anything which you achieve in this world from the grip of time. Just like you cannot build a sand castle at an ocean which has a lot of movements of the tide, you cannot keep anything in this world. Whatever sand castle you build at the side of an ocean which has an ebb and a flood, is doomed to be removed. So, and then we lament when we see that. We lamented the removal of our fortune. We lament when our friends say goodbye from us due to a misunderstanding or an estrangement. We lament ultimately when the great, great, great changer, death, comes into our life and pulls us out of this body and with it out of everything which we have around us. So, I'm concerned, he says. I want to give them the real essence of life. I'm thinking of their welfare. My welfare is taken care of. Now, Prahlad spoke as a highly realized soul. He had seen other people on the spiritual path who behaved in a different way. Now, I would like to say another of his pronouncements. He said, I see many sages. They are generally interested only in their own deliverance. They practice the vow of silence. They wander in solitary places like the Himalayas. And they don't really care for the deliverance of others. I have seen, and we have talked about this, that there is a great need for those who practice spiritual life to develop a genuine sense of feeling for the distress of others. They should not think, oh, I'm all right, I have no worries, but they should look around on the left side, the right side, in front and in the back, and sometimes above them, to see the other brothers and sisters, the other living entities. How are they doing? And if one can only step out of his own little bubble of reality and genuinely care of a single person, the Lord is immediately pleased. I remember a story which I heard, I believe, from my mother about a boy who would go every morning down the coast when there was the ebb, and he would take starfishes and throw them back into the ocean. And, every morning the beach was covered with stranded starfishes for something like 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers, 50 kilometers maybe. These beaches are sometimes quite long. So there was a man who watched this boy saving starfishes, maybe 50 or so. And he said, what you do is really doesn't matter in the face of all these billions, trillions of starfishes which will die today. These 50 don't really matter. The boy said, it may not matter for the world, but I'm sure it matters for each single one of the starfishes. When you want to display or exercise or practice compassion, don't think about the numbers. Think about the individuals whom you can uplift with compassionate dealings. Today I would like to briefly speak about one benefit that is created for an individual who is shown compassion. When someone feels to be an object of genuine compassion, his resilience becomes tremendously boosted or strengthened. What is resilience? I've made a note here. It is a capacity to adapt despite challenging or threatening circumstances. Resilience can be thought of as a physical and also mental armor, which when you have it, you have no problem when even there is a lot of pressure upon you. Resilience is that ability inside to just adopt and deal with it without becoming overwhelmed by the pressure from outside. For instance, someone who has a physical resilience has a fantastic immune system, and a lot of diseases could come, but it's not a problem for him because his resilience is very strong. Someone who doesn't have a strong resilience is already felled to the ground when someone next to him coughs and he breathes in whatever bacteria are coming out. Resilience, however, is also important when we deal with disappointments, with stress, with anxieties, with attacks maybe, with hurt, and so on. When you are resilient and you have that inner armor, you throw off the threatening situation with a smile, or at least without being too much ruffled by it. Resilience is a very important strength. It is an inner fire. It's a safe armor against all the pressures which come to us on the physical or health-related level, and also on the human levels. Now, many, many studies which I have looked at yesterday have shown that people who have other people being compassionate towards them, I understand what you're going through and I wish you all the best. Can I help you? Or as one monk said, I'm here for you. People who experience any kinds of problems, and they have such compassionate people around them, go very easily through the problem. Whereas others who have to face a problem alone, without someone being there for them in a spirit of compassion, they break very easily and go down. I remember in my own life, I had the fortune to have excellent doctors. My body was not always very strong. Now it is better. But I was the source of all this because I never slept and never ate. I was just so enthusiastic for other things. Anyways, so I had a surgery in Berlin done to me, which was extremely painful. I was in the same room with someone who had the same problem, and he was screaming in pain throughout the night. I couldn't sleep. I had already my surgery, and he was not having his surgery, so he was in the room, and I told him, after your surgery, you still will feel pain, but it is nothing in comparison to what you feel. And I had a doctor to whom I went, and the doctor who had taken care of me, and he said, it's not healing. We have done the surgery, but it's not healing. Then he looked at me and he said, have you talked to people about what you're going through, the pain and the anxiety that this does not heal? You know, the cuts of the surgery will remain open. I said, no, why? He said, there are studies out which show that patients who have people who care, who send them compassionate well-wishes, that they recuperate much, much, much faster. He spoke of a study done in the town of Kiel, that's a German town near the ocean, and in this study they showed really that people whose bones had been broken healed very quickly when there were other people who were compassionate towards them. Please excuse me. One moment. You can exercise your compassion. Yes, now it's better. Because when we feel that someone is there praying for us, wishing well for us, understanding us, and being just there, being present, something happens inside which increases the resilience. Those of you who, like me, are not having English as the mother tongue, please look it up in the dictionary. It's a very important word to learn. Resilience, or inner strength, or an inner armor. This informs the immune system. This informs the healing power of the body. And you can easily overcome others, your problem. So this is what happens when we send compassion to someone. And the amazing thing is that they don't even need to know that there is someone sending compassionate meditations in their directions. It's better if they are informed. Yes, we will dedicate the Compassion Tuesday to you, but it works also without, because it is this particular emotion or attitude, this what is the speciality of compassion. It really builds up the resilience in others. And there is a very spiritual benefit to this. The spiritual benefit, this will be my last point, is if you show compassion and affection to other living beings, and if you just act as their well-wishers, it's not only that they derive the benefit because their resilience is awakened. No. The all-present divinity, the all-pervading divine Lord is so pleased if we give up feeling separate from everyone else and only taking care of us. The Lord is so happy when we open our hearts with feelings of compassion towards all the other beings. That is the power of compassion. So having spoken about it, we will now do our compassionate meditation, our compassion meditation. It will be a very good and powerful experience if we do it on the day of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev. Let me just check with my instrumentalist. Is this a good tonality, or should we go a little up?
It's good.
Good? Yeah. It's time to meditate. Kindly put aside all other activities and concerns even. Sit in a comfortable yet steady position. You can just bring the belly muscle, the muscle just under the navel, that muscle, draw it in a little bit. That will lengthen the spine. And you can open your chest. Very good. This is a good position for meditation. I request you to relax your neck and your shoulders. Just bring your attention for a moment there. And relax. Although we sit straight, let us relax our upper body. Spine, back, chest, and abdomen. I request you, when you are ready, to relax also your face, the muscles who are there under the surface of the skin. Relax the face which you present to the world. Relax your lower body as well. Hips down to the knees, relax. Knees down to the feet, and the feet, relax. Good. Now take a few deep breaths. Breathe in through your nose, and lengthen your inhale. And exhale through your nose. Whenever you inhale, think that with the ingoing air, you wish to breathe in a distant scent, a fragrance, which may be there at the end of your room. In long and smooth and gentle breaths. If you have not done so, please close your eyes now. Continue with your breathing. But do so in an effortless way. Come to your natural breathing pattern. Now, try to direct your breath towards your heart space. As you breathe in, breathe into your heart. And as you breathe out, let the breath leave the heart space and go back into the atmosphere. You're taking breath from the atmosphere that surrounds you, and you're returning your breath to the generous atmosphere all around you. Let's do this a few times on our own. Just like me, the people of this world are trying to avoid suffering. Just like me, people have known sadness, loneliness, and hopelessness. Just like me, other people have needs and tried to fulfill them. And just like me, others are growing and learning in their lives. Remain a little bit more in that space. Think concretely of people and then send them your good wishes, your prayers, maybe also tell them mentally, I can understand what you are going through, I'm there for you, I wish you well. As we will dwell in this space, we will do a little kirtan. We will turn to the source of all well-being. To the supreme behind everything. In the heart of everyone. Turn in this kirtan to that understanding of the Supreme that you are most comfortable with at this moment.
Krishna, Krishna.
cultivating in this Compassion Tuesday. The point of bhakti-related compassion is that, yes, we understand how powerful it is if we send someone our well wishes in a spirit of compassion. It builds up the other person's inner armor to deal with the difficulties in life, whatever it is. It builds up the resilience. I think that very important addition which bhakti puts to this practice is that we know the maximum amount of strength, the maximum amount of benefit, the maximum amount of blessings which come through compassion is when we link this emotion to the Supreme, who is the source of all the strengths, of all the blessings, of all the benefits, and relate to Him and ask Him, I'm not interested only in my benefit, in my welfare. Please send your compassionate energy. It's a Shakti, Karuna Shakti, a divine energy to the people in need. And that does a lot to alleviate suffering. I thank you very, very much. You see, I'm today a little bit in a hurry. That has a reason, because we have to do another ceremony, or a ceremony at 2053, and we need to still do a few preparations. If you want to be at 8:53 there with your full presence, you can collect a lot of divine blessings, because that is the appearance day of a very wonderful avatar, the Nrisimha avatar. I wish you all the best and see you very soon.